Evolve 360, a holistic approach to life, is an exploration of learning through experience individually and culturally as a whole by taking a 360-degree look at our quality of life, including the limiting beliefs, worn-out paradigms, and destructive habits that have led us to where we are today, and to instead create or revolutionize a new life vision that brings greater peace, appreciation, clarity, fulfillment, happiness, and joy as we ultimately evolve. In our last episode, Shelley and I explored the qualities that make a good leader and hopefully inspired you to ask yourself, what is your own sacred contract with America? In this episode, we're going to take a look at some of the most successful and unconventional business leaders of our day and explore what has taken them to achieve those heights and to discern whether or not their soul played a role in it and if it is still doing that today. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Evolve 360 Shelley Shell Show with hosts
Shelley Grace
and Shelley Divine. Hey, soul sister, hey. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but what a hot week, huh?
Oh, my word. If you're a business owner or a CEO, talk about being put under the freaking frying pan. I was like so enthralled, and I found it very riveting, although energetically very draining.
We're talking about the unprecedented hearing that happened, the antitrust hearing that they brought in the four companies, the top tech companies, and we're going to talk about that in just a sec. But boy, Shelley, I am with you. I watched that. It was so long, almost 6 hours, and I was just totally drained just watching it you know?
Yeah. I like to get into, like, as we move forward in the show, why we were drained, because I felt like I got like a little upgrade in understanding when you're at that level.
Right.
Of what it takes to be at that level. And I think that's why I was drained, is I've never been at that level of responsibility.
Oh, and just of the power plays that were going back and forth, and you know, it was just, there was a lot going on there. It was really a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tell all of our viewers and listeners that we are kicking off today. It's August 1st. We are going right into sliding into our entire leadership platform. We have set the stage for all of you because, as you know, we are here to talk archetypal, how your power is drained, how you can hold your power, and what's going on in this world. And we're going to help you through the archetypal language that we speak so we can see things from an archetypal perspective. And today's the first show. It deals on leadership. And Shelley and I had been preparing for this show for a really long time. And all of a sudden, boom, last week, here we are. We were like, we couldn't believe it. Yeah. The antitrust hearings were up. These people were put on under a microscope. They were thrown into the frying pan. And, you know, in watching this, I just wanted to tell everybody that I have so many friends that are in politics at the state, at the local level in Washington. And, you know, I want to start the show with a quote. And the quote that I want to start, and then I'm going to go into, you know, my friends and my experiences knowing my friends and how they've gone through the political journey and, you know, top CEOs. But the quote that I want to bring into our show to set our intention is on authentic leadership. And this is from Carolyn. And she says, "You can pretend to be something other than who you are, but eventually you will run out of energy to continue because that's not authentically you." And we're going to talk today about our being authentic, being an authentic leader, representing, if you're a public figure, being an authentic leader under that realm. And, you know, I wanted to get back to all the friends that I have. I have friends that have, you know, big companies as CEOs. I also have a lot of friends that are in politics. And it's very interesting because I've been behind the scenes I was behind the scenes in politics for almost 20 years, not only with my career, but with the people that I was associated with. And I saw, you know, congressmen that started at the local level on their school board, and then they went up to the state legislature, and then they decided to run for Congress. Mm-hmm. And what's very interesting is when they started, you know, they were just, you know, one kind of person. They were really, you know, had great ideals, had, you know, great morals and virtues, and not that they, you know, that goes away, but sometimes we have to kind of skirt that gray area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to always, as a leader, know who you are, know, you know, what your values are, and know what you're going to do, because it affects you. And we're going to talk about that in the show. Mm. It really affects you deeply. And even more so when I was seeing these hearings, the level of disrespect just really hit me in my third chakra, which is, you know, your self-esteem. I just didn't like the level of disrespect, especially the questioning that was going on. Mm. It doesn't need to be. And what I want to tell all the viewers is, a lot of times it's a power game, because I've known politicians that have been on opposite sides, and they're true and best friends. But when they're in that arena, they're sparring like the Romans, you know, they spar and they spar and then they get out of that arena and they're friends. So it's very interesting. You have to see the power plays, and you always have to hold on to who you are authentically. And we want to kick this off, and let's see how things unfold. But one of the things that I wanted to say is that if you haven't seen them, you know, take a look, see, there's a lot going on. YouTube has some great snippets that they put together. In fact, I wanted to just share some phrases that I got from Squawk Box. Deidre Boza was sharing these the other day, and what the antitrust hearings were, it was on the phrases that they were using was too much power, anti-competitive acquisitions, emperors of the online economy. That's an archetype. An emperor is an archetype.
Yeah.
And a case study in monopolistic power. Monopolistic power. That's a big word.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
No kidding. But what Deidre said that kind of stuck out at me, because here we go. Yeah. Because Shelly and I are all about life and business with soul. And it was very interesting that Squawk Box said that the questions were all over the place. This is a direct quote from Deidre. Mm. The ones for Bezos and Amazon did manage to strike at the heart of the antitrust issue that have been building for years. At the heart of the issue. So we're bringing, you know, the heart into play. So let's dive into the heart of the matter, and let's see this from an archetypal perspective.
Oh man,
yeah.
This is loaded, because it's like you have government versus, it's like a sport. You have government versus, you know, CEOs, a businessman, an entrepreneur. Yeah. And we talked a lot about the entrepreneur in this country and how it developed this country in our series on the Sacred Contract of America. Now we're seeing these guys in the big leagues playing this live sport. And when we started watching this, I don't know about you, Shell, but it really drained me about, you know, 2 hours into watching it because of these power plays. But what I learned from it is I had never really watched or had an interest in watching this. And that was a big thing. Like Carolyn would be teaching us when we were at a CMED, she would be saying, you know, to the students, you have to be involved. You have to be active. You can't go in with the excuse, oh, it just emotionally drains me. And then you go off to the spa and recoup.
Right.
You know, she was like, you have to be active. That's what all these archetypal forces are about. Yeah. Like the founding fathers, you know, like the pioneer and the woman being involved in like, you know, like what's going on politically and everything. And
totally.
So what I discovered is, yes, it did drain me. But then what I realized from learning is there's all these different tiers of responsibility. And as we move up the tiers, we take on this energy vibration to be able to deal with these powers. And that's what these guys are doing. Because I was like, what does it take to get there for these people, like to be in a political seat, you know, to be on the committee or to be a CEO. Now, when we look at these CEOs, that were called in and are being investigated, which I can't even believe the timing of our show, because people, you got to know, we planned this show to talk about Facebook. We were going to talk about Amazon. We're going to talk, you know, we planned this months ago to talk about Apple and to talk about Google. And here we are, and they are in the public forum right now, being like held accountable for things that we are going to discuss on this show. So this is a little mind blowing of how we're, you know, personally tapped into source and tapped into, you know, a higher power, and it's I feel like directing us, but also guiding us and helping us to get to these levels where I feel like I was really uncomfortable with that. And now I'm like, whoa, now I'm finding this riveting.
It's riveting.
Yeah. And I wanna learn more about what is going on and what it takes to be a leader and to be in that sparring match with government, because these guys are in the big leagues now and they have to be held accountable for some of their actions.
They're in the big leagues, but this show, because I want people to say, well, I have a company, or I'm a leader, and or I'm in politics. Hey guys, it all deals down with the individual, which is the micro, and how we need to be responsible. We need to make sure that we are aligned with our values, our morals, and authentic, and always look at the big picture, because these guys had, and we're going to talk about, you know, the start of their companies, and we're not here to judge anybody. And I want to put that out there in the forefront. We're here to talk archetypally. We're here to talk about power, and we want to learn from this so that if you're listening, you have a company, you're a leader, you're a manager, even if you're leading your own house with the power plays at families, you know, that's in itself huge. How can you learn to navigate that world so that you don't get, you know, drained like we were drained watching it?
Yeah. It's fascinating, because when you think of how these CEOs, these leaders of these mega companies, when you look at Amazon and you look at Google and you look at, say, Facebook, those were the three that basically went under fire with tons of questions at this hearing this week. And I mean, iTunes was in there too, but not as many questions towards them and how these CEOs handle those questions. But what's fascinating is all these guys are like the American, they've lived the American dream. They started out mom and pop, kind of in their, either in their garage or in their dorm room.
They had a dream. They were pioneers. Exactly.
And now they've reached this level with their companies. They're hugely, I mean, they're global. They're huge. And now, you know, the government is looking at them and they're saying, okay, you know, ethically, we have to look at some of your practices, and are you squashing out the little guy from them, you know, having the American dream? Which, as I moved into watching, you know, in the beginning of the hearings, I was just like, ah, listen to, you know, these politicians. Right. I was like, oh my God, they're such, you know, a-hole, you know, like, and, you know, like kind of,
and they're angry.
And I was, it brought up some anger, when they asked questions. And I was like, oh my gosh. Cause I mean, I love Google. I love being able to go in and like find something, and as opposed to some other platforms, like say Yahoo or Bing to find or to search for things. But, you know, are they using their practices to kind of, you know, like their optimization and how they go in, the, you know, like, I don't even know all this tech stuff, but I'm like, when they go in, are they trying to, you know, stay on
what's going on behind the scenes? But I'd like to take a pause, and I wanted to share with the viewers what is an antitrust law, because this is how they got all called in, and it's unprecedented because they all got called in at the same time.
Yeah.
Microsoft have been called in, I believe, 20 years ago. But now an antitrust law is when a company is basically told that they're monopolizing, they are price gouging, they are doing things to kind of squash everybody else.
Yeah.
And this law came into effect way back. And we go back to where we are today and where some of these laws were enacted. The first one was enacted in 1890, Shelley. Can you believe that? 1890.
That's a long time ago.
Yes, it was. And it was called the Sherman Act. Oh. And after that, in 1914, they added the Clayton Act and the Federal Trade Commission. Mm. And way, way back, these laws were put in place, again, because of monopolies and because of political power. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make sure that we had free competition, which was the American dream, mm-hmm. and that everybody had like the same level playing field. Mm. So remember, we came, and this is why Shelley and I have done this series from the past of the founding fathers and how this country was created, because it's so important to know that history. Right. Why? Because Senator Sherman, who was the one that enacted this law way back when, said, quote, "If we will not endure King as a political power, we should not endure King over the production, transportation, and sale of any of the necessaries of life." So that's when they passed the Sherman Antitrust Act. And back then we were in the industrial age. So we had the railroad, we had the oil companies, and they were brought in. The United States Steel Corporation was brought in. Standard Oil was brought in way back in 1914 because they wanted to make sure that they didn't have a monopoly. Now we are in the different age. We are in the age of tech. We are in the age of energy. Mm-hmm. So that's why the four companies were brought in.
Yeah. And it's so like these particular companies that we're looking at today have a huge impact on our lives and whether or not, because I mean, I know we, as a business owner, if you have a website,
right,
you're relying on right. Google and, you know, for search engine stuff right. and you're relying on those things, but you also on that micro level have yes. to take responsibility for building out your own website and putting yes. in the proper key things doing that. And if you don't, you can't turn around, which I found, you know, some of the examples that they used during this hearing, uh-huh. Some of the representatives would use, say, against maybe Google or Amazon or whatever. I found it kind of funny because those companies, you know, depending on the consumer,
right,
who wants to use what, I was like, I never wanted to use, like, say, you know, Yelp. You know, like as whatever,
right.
You know, like, and it was just kind of a natural thing. And it wasn't because, you know, maybe Google stole something or whatever, which they're talking about, like the ethical, like right. how these companies built themselves,
gained what their
they
power.
Did and right. gained their power. Did they right. do it ethically or what were the influencing factors for them to do it? And that's what's been in question. And so when you get to those high levels of power, This is naturally going to come into play. Somebody's going to question you. And
exactly.
right now it's government.
Right. And the thing is, okay, so what is free enterprise? So yeah. you want to buy another company. You want to acquire.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, there's a lot of questions here. And again, I throw it back to the readers. Do your research.
Yeah.
Don't become complacent. Because this yeah. affects all of us.
Yeah.
I always use Google as a platform. I think that is awesome. And I love it. And of course, I yeah. shop on Amazon all the time.
Yes, me too.
I'm super excited when Amazon came into the fold a long time ago. I believe they started in 1994.
Yeah.
Because I used to love getting books. I'd go to the bookstore. And now I didn't have to do that. I could just order them from my house. And I thought right. it was so cool.
Right.
It was great. And then, you know, Bezos
and how they've grown. I mean, now yes. you can get Amazon Prime. Now we're getting delivery. But those innovations
right.
that these guys have put into place, like even currently with the epidemic and everything, mm-hmm. because this is the other reason why these guys got pulled in this unprecedented, right. you know, situation. It's usually one company getting pulled in for a monopoly, you know, like or something. And now right. they got they're targeting four CEOs of four major companies that we as consumers rely on. We got iPhone that we rely on, Apple, the apps that Apple provides, Google, all the, you know, search engine stuff, and then all the good little perks that Google has, say, for your business, like Google Docs, we use that. There's a lot of free stuff that they offer, but they're also intertwined with, now the government wants to come in and utilize, like, you know, maps and searches for drone stuff. So they're dealing with privacy issues,
yes, they
whether
are.
Or not to take contracts. So these ethical things are coming up, and the government is now, you know, pointing fingers at them for certain things. But these CEOs are like, okay, how do I balance and navigate and still remain ethical and to my company's values and not, you know, and this is what this whole thing was about, which makes it so riveting and fascinating when you kind of, you know, get through, like, say you're watching it and you're feeling like, oh my God, this is freaking toxic. Because that's how I felt watching it. But
it was very painful to watch some of those.
Yes.
Yeah, painful.
Yes. But when you start to kind of almost raise your own vibration and get into what is actually the dynamics and the power plays that are happening, mm-hmm. you're going to see things so much more clearly and say, oh, wow, this is what this... You know, they're trying to make decisions on to keep their company alive. Their company's trying to survive in a very aggressive marketplace.
Yes, they are.
And they're being attacked from all sides, new things coming in. So naturally, you know, say Bezos wants to, you know, squash or something or buy out. It's how he's going to go about doing it, or Google for that matter. How are they going to go about doing it or acquiring a new company, or like Facebook, for instance, with Instagram, how, you know, in 2012, they purchased Instagram, which they didn't know as an app was going to be as big as it is, but they kind of had a suspicion, but they made it better. And he was under fire during that. But how they went about doing all that and making the decisions to do that, which is their right to do in a competitive market.
And right.
It's fascinating how
it is fascinating
how they have to go about managing that power and doing it, say, ethically. I'm like, oh.
And you bring up such a huge point, because what if they said no to these government contracts because they want to continue making sure that the privacy is guarded, because, you know, come on, all our data is on there.
Yeah. And they were being under fire for that. They were under fire for that, saying, oh, well, you wouldn't take this, but now you're in cahoot. They would kind of twist it, and they would say, you're still in cahoots with China. And then the CEO of, I think it was Google, what's his name? Pichai. He was like, well, we're looking at things from whatever, you know, and we have to make judgment calls on how we're going to do that. And even if their corporate culture was against certain things, they were under fire for that too, because their corporate culture was like, no, we don't want to go in this direction. So as a CEO, you're like, I gotta do what's right for my baby, my company.
Right.
As opposed to what externally, say, government wants to, you know locations of us as citizens, and they wanted to put something like that into play, and they're being under fire for that. So this dynamic is like
authentic leadership, I'm telling you.
It's
dynamic, and the price that you might pay.
Yeah.
You're standing your ground, and this is what we're talking about. So you understand the power plays. I don't want to bring another company into play, but I will right now.
Yeah,
and that's Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's. I shop at Trader Joe's. Mm. And let me tell you something. Yesterday, they are under fire. Why? Because a lot of their products have ethnic names to them. And they were brought in, you know, they're getting kind of scrutinized by, I don't know who, because I didn't get the whole story, but they are asked to change their product names. And I believe their spokesperson said that they disagree that these labels are not, you know, of the designation that they're being accused of, that they're racist labels. He said, look, 10 years ago, our customer base loved these names. I go to Trader Joe's all the time and I buy all kinds of wonderful products there. And he goes, we're not changing our labels because this is what our clients want and they wanted it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, 10 years ago. Yeah. So here's what I want to bring out. Okay. I don't want to live in a vanilla world.
Yeah, me either.
I live in South Florida because I am an ethnic, delicious pot that I can get whatever food. I have friends from all nationalities. When I was a school principal, I had over 85 different countries in my school. We would have a cultural day that was amazing because I love different cultures. I have friends from all over the world. So why the heck do I have to be vanilla? Why?
Yeah.
I do not want to be vanilla.
Yeah.
I want to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, and I love the different foods from all over the world.
Yes.
So let's face it, people, we got to take a stand and you cannot be complacent.
Yeah.
Case in point, what's going on now.
Yeah.
We love Google, we love Amazon, but what the heck's going to happen? We got to pay attention. Why do we have to pay attention? Because one day you might get up and guess what? Google ain't going to be there anymore.
There's, you know, when you're the champ, there's always a target on your back.
Of course.
And that's and we see that in sports. Why don't we see it in business? And then we got to say there's a monopoly. These guys are basically surviving at the top. They know they got a target on their back and they're like, they're taking in like maybe a lot of opportunities, but a lot of challenges to keep things going. And they're creating positions. I mean, of course they're going to get a lot of criticism from all different levels of people, wherever they're at, from their lowest maybe employee on, you know, on that tier towards their competition who might not have the business, you know
savvy.
Savvy or know-how.
Let's talk about balls, you guys, because it takes balls to get to where they are.
Yeah, and decision-making, and instead of casting, like, you know, arrows at the big guys because their business is failing. And you got to take, you got to look at your own self.
Yes, you
do. Okay,
you got to go inside. You got to go inside.
You got to go inside because that's what these guys did. I mean, you look at their backgrounds. And yeah, they made some tough choices. I mean, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, there's a whole movie on him. And yes, and his I mean, he had partners. And now he's kind of like the last man standing of that original group of guys that started in that, you know, dorm room at Harvard and started Facebook. And there was a lot of controversy within that. I'm sure he's done a lot of soul searching and he's been under fire before, you know, during, you know, the last year or the year before he was under fire for similar issues or whatever and had to be in court. So he was a little more well-versed on how to proceed. But you look at with questioning, you know, being grilled by these guys and coming up with say, hey, wait a minute, there's other companies. There's other companies out there that are in China now. The tech industry is actually
Jack Ma is kicking butt
in
over
China.
There.
In
Jack
China.
Ma is the CEO of Alibaba.
If we don't think we're under competitive fire in this country, which he pointed out, you know, he's like, there's so much freaking competition right now that we're having to contend
all over the world. And Jack Ma started from nothing. He came from a poor family, got himself, he became an English teacher to learn English. Yeah. And from there, let me tell you, he is a success story. If you don't know who Jack Ma is, he went to Harvard. And I mean, if there's a guy that overcame every adversity ever on the planet, it was Jack Ma. But we're going back to competition and we're going back to what does it take to be an entrepreneur in today's 21st century?
Yeah.
Are you going to be scrutinized by Congress? Are you going to be an ethical leader? These are questions that we ask and we are not judging because we're here to just get you guys to think.
Yeah.
It's our show to get you to think life unplugged, raw and real. And to say, hey, if you're a leader in today's world, listen, what are you going to do? Now you've got people that don't want to go back to work. Now the stimulus package may or may not come back. Yeah. Unemployment is done. They might do another round, but who knows?
Yeah.
And, you know, how are you going to lead people? Are you going to allow yourself to be bullied? Are you going to take a stand? And, you know, it goes back to, I saw a movie a very long time ago, and I read this book 100 years ago, which really kind of put this into play for me. And it was a book called Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
Atlas Shrugged. Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand, man. Oh, she's riveting. Got it down. Yeah.
Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I am a creative entrepreneur, visionary pioneer, and I go out there and I create all of these amazing things, and government wants to come and squash me like a bug.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, something else I want to say, because some of you, if you're a leader and you run big companies, you get what I say. I ran a school. I had 150 employees. And I always try to have my hand in everything and know what's going on. But I can just only imagine the behemoth conglomerate, huge company that Bezos runs.
Yeah.
How does he know what the, you know, come on. He's got people and he has layers.
Yeah.
So those of you that are out there that are CEOs, COOs, and CMOs know exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And then somebody in Congress starts asking these nitpicky questions. You know, again, I'm not sending judgment. I don't know the entire details of behind the scenes on either party.
Yeah.
I think they will start to unravel as the things start going on. But the truth is the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, these CEOs being put under fire, it's going to actually refine their businesses even more. So it's actually kind of a, you know, like, I think these guys, like say Bezos, he sometimes didn't, to me, he appeared not to have some answers. It was his first time. He really kind of avoided getting into this situation with the others that were called in for this and declined initially, from appearing, but then was forced to appear by the main guys, David Cecil.
Here's what was very interesting,
and
very interesting, and I they didn't have their legal counsel with them.
Yeah,
but they could ask a question to their legal counsel, and they had 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So is this fair?
Yeah,
were they put under the gun by Congress? Because now Congress wants to know if they really, you know, have the substance of the companies that they've created.
Yeah.
Is it fair? Yeah. And what's the truth?
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't like the level of questioning. I think it could have been done in a different manner. I really felt that Congress was like, people were angry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, some of them, I think, came from the perspective of right now where it's a political year that that maybe Google was squashing any sort of conservative, you know, things that were put on Google, like, say, a YouTube, you know, video, and they were kind of like redirecting or something, which I don't think that's necessarily true, but they were trying to point that out. And I found that, like, what does that have to do with antitrust? Or, and I think people will see through that.
Right. Exactly.
People that are watching it, I was like, that's kind of bogus for them to be, you know, pointing that out and saying that Google is like squashing stuff, or maybe even, you know, Amazon is, or whatever. But
here's the thing: you get brought into this hearing under an antitrust law, and then they start unraveling and unwinding everything else. So,
well, making accusations that are slanderous, I think, towards your company, to skew what your company is about. And I kind of got a sense of that from a few political, you know, representatives. But there were some things that were brought up that, like what you were saying earlier about, like, you know, as a CEO, sometimes you don't know what's happening, you know, down below you with,
you know,
like who's handling things. And then you hear one story from one of these, you know, House representatives, and you're like, oh, wow, blindsided. And I felt like with Jeff Bezos, because it was his first time kind of under this sort of scrutiny and criticism and questioning, that he might have glazed over a bit, because he takes himself, I felt like after watching, you know, doing some research on him and seeing him, he's very pick. He's really for, right. Like he has like a foundation that supports, he's like really into homeless people. He came from Cuba. His family, you know, had nothing when they came
here. Stepdad's from Cuba.
And, yeah. Yeah. And he built up his,
he was born, I think, in Arizona.
His
mom was a teenage mom.
Yeah.
Single mom and married this guy that she met at the university who came from Cuba, who had nothing. And
so it's an amazing success story.
It is.
So he really empathizes with homeless people. And so, you know, you have this success story and he's like, okay, now he has this perspective of himself. And then he hears this story. I think it was like the diaper story that one of the reps brought up. And how his company might have squashed that and kind of took it over. And I'm thinking I felt like maybe did that glaze over. And this was what happens when you elevate yourself. I think as a CEO, you sometimes don't see maybe your shadow or some of these dark influences that Shelley and I talk about, like the victim, saboteur, prostitute, or child. And you see yourself in this position and you think that you're helping a lot of people,
right?
But then maybe you're still like in this dictator or slave master role where you have these people below you working for you and you don't realize this. And then here he is, this is what I felt was going on. And when I was watching this from the perspective of archetypes. So people, when you hear me saying this, I have no, like, I'm just looking from symbolic what's happening. And this man is getting a wake up call that he didn't see before in himself as a CEO or as a leader, that he might have this archetype influencing him of, the four core ones, but the slave master, where he's got his people working below him and he's the master at the top. And how does he proceed with doing this? And he might be squashing this, you know, this new entrepreneur who is supposed to be a partner.
Right.
But then he's turning around, his company is turning around, or the people below him are saying, okay, we're going to get rid of this because they're making too much money here. And this happens with businesses. They're making too much money, but we want a piece of the action. We want a greater piece of the action, or our product that is not selling at the same level. And we want our product to sell. So we're going to take them off of our platform. We're not going to allow them to sell this product anymore. And this was raised during this meeting. And I'm just using this as an example because Bezos wasn't, as a leader, was not versed or in
aware
what
of that
happened or aware of it. And so this was it appeared to me like maybe the first time he heard it. And this glaze happens when you have a shift and you're confronted with something. And this happens on the micro level in our lives with say, you know, divorce, when we don't want to see something about ourselves that might be shadowy. And we all have this.
Yes.
And he is for the first time being confronted actually on a huge forum, which is a bit embarrassing.
Worldwide on the global scale.
Yeah. A bit embarrassing. And you glaze over because you're protecting yourself.
Right.
You're protecting a belief that you might have about yourself individually. And now it's being exposed that I'm not as great a person as I thought I was in creating like this. And I have to readjust and shift and change this. And he was like, okay, I got to look at this and I will look at this after this hearing. That was his response. But I could see the glaze over because it affected him deep down in the micro.
Right.
Of his personality. And, you know, and he sees himself as this great guy helping, you know, humble people and people who are in hard times. But his business, what they were pointing out, the politicians, which I thought was a good thing, is that he had a bit of a conflict of interest when it came to the dynamic of what his company stood for. Was he's really for, like, you know, for the customer service and supplying the best customer service, which we all love as consumers.
We,
I really I love Amazon, but I don't, yeah. I wouldn't want to be like, as a partner, which this is a part of the aspect of their business, as a right. partner, you're selling. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm doing really well here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then my partner, who is Amazon, turns around and sells the same product.
Right.
And is
squashes you.
It squashes you and then takes you off the platform, which happened with this, I guess, this diapers.
So let's talk about that from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah.
Because I've been there at a very mini micro level running my little empire that I'd call my school.
Yeah.
So you have all these power plays, you have all these people, and sometimes, and leaders that are listening, you know what I mean. You've got a manager, you've got like somebody in a division that you trust, you've entrusted, you know, you meet with, but all of a sudden they start doing their own thing. So they start, I don't want to use the word undermining you, but to a point they decide to skirt the envelope. Oh, you know, I'm in a, you know, the boss says that I want to do it this way, but I think this way is better. Mm-hmm. So they go out of the model that you sat down in a meeting to put together, and this person then decides to do their own thing, and that's where you get into problems. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what happened with whoever's running the division of the online entrepreneur. Jump on board, you know, on Jeff Bezos, Amazon's back, and we'll make you. And you know, you they have the platform there. All you have to do is put up your store, and yeah. whoever's running that maybe has decided to do things in a different way to meet the bottom line, to meet their quarter, you know, what they need to do. So we don't know what's behind the scenes of all of this, but what we do know is that, and I agree with Shelley, he was kind of taken aback yeah. when he was confronted with this. Yeah. Again, he has a huge company. I'm yeah. not talking a little school in Miami-Dade County where I dealt with politicians, parents, kids, yeah. you know, and let me tell you, it was big.
Yeah.
So, and thinking about the level that he manages and the level that he leads, he has to have people, he has to have layers under him. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you about Microsoft, because when Microsoft started, no, it was Google. Google. They decided, Google did a study. Okay. Mm. And they decided not to have any managers. They had engineers. Mm. And after the first, they couldn't deal with it because they had to put in those layers. Yeah. They had to, there's a study on Google on this. Wow. That when Sergey and I forgot the other guy's name. Hold yeah. on. I have it right here. And this is very interesting because we need to tell you guys, because we're not here to just, we're here to get you to think.
Yeah. And the other thing too is Shelley and I are learning about this now because we're so interested in what our future, the new future that's coming yes. forward. Yes. I mean, things are going to change and we're going to be going into technology. And I think our government realizes that. And it's like, how are we going to do that? And it's not just our country. This is going to take over globally.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know, it's a whole new frontier, people. And that's why we're talking about this right now.
Right. No, it is a whole new frontier. But I just wanted to let you guys know that when there's a huge study that you need layers in a company, because mm-hmm. when Google started out, it was very open-minded and they had these 100 engineers and everybody was going to run their own show. Mm-hmm. But you need that hierarchy because the two founders were going crazy because people were running to them to ask if they could take a sick day, to ask, hey, you know, can I go over budget on a project? You know, all these little intricate things that you really can't have. You have to have managers taking care of that. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it from a leadership model and that perspective, mm-hmm. if you're really big, you have to have those layers. So we go back to, are the people that he's got in place maybe doing things that are like not really in the realm of what was discussed when the company was opened?
Yeah.
But again, as a leader, the buck stops with you.
Yeah.
So as a CEO, the buck stops with them. So yeah. it's going to be interesting how all this plays out archetypally and, you know, in a way where we can come back to it. But it's very interesting. And again, I just want to tell everybody that you, if you haven't seen the hearings, you know, catch a glimpse of it so that you can understand more of what Shelley and I are talking about, because it was riveting.
Yeah, for sure.
It was, whoa. It yeah. was, I can't describe the feelings that I got at times because I yeah. just, they were being grilled.
That's oh, hurt. Yeah, totally.
And I felt a lot of anger. Not from the CEO's part, from Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, some of those, you know, representatives were, you know, they're probably inundated. They were inundated with complaints.
Right.
Maybe other smaller, constituents, yeah, smaller businesses that aren't getting a response from, say, you know, Google or Amazon or Facebook when something was askew. One of the things too that a while back, before when we were initially thinking about going into the show, we were talking about whether or not what these companies should represent, and most of their business plan has this, you know, they have to make some money or something to keep alive, to pay their employees, but they based it on, you know, creating advertising for those platforms, and that was part of their business model. But now, in hindsight, how they started the company, it was for, you know, service of the greater good. It was like a social kind of
Facebook.
Yeah, like Facebook started that way. Even I would say, like, say Google, it was like, you know, you were able to, you know, look something up really quick and find it. It was like the best, you know.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. So it was a social service.
It was amazing. Yes.
It was a social service. And Amazon, even, you know, even though they sold books and stuff, it was kind of like a bit of a social service too, because you could get knowledge really fast.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos started the company in 1994.
Yeah, didn't they all kind of start around a very similar time?
94. And his mission was to take advantage of the technology and experience of our employees to offer consumers the best online shopping experience. And he started with books. And I was fascinated because I could just get whatever book I wanted.
Right, right. Yeah.
From anywhere.
Yeah.
So he started in 94.
Yeah. So, I mean, they provided this, like a social operating system instead of a marketing advertising, you know.
Right. System. Microsoft started in 1975.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, should they be getting back to that sort of thing? Because, I'm looking at it from like the perspective, people are now like leaving those platforms. Like they're going to TikTok, which is a...
But TikTok is not a business platform. TikTok is more like for kids. I mean,
I think they're using that more now for like people are putting like, say, not like an Instagram kind of thing, but they're right. I don't even think it's just for kids.
Well, I just see a lot of, I don't know.
I don't know enough about it, but there's these,
I don't know anything
apps.
About it, but every time I've seen it, I always see like music videos, people like pretending to be, you know, superstars.
But that's,
on there.
That's how these started, though. That's how Facebook kind of started. It was like people sharing, you know, staying in touch with family and friends,
right?
You know, like and having a platform to get your voice out there. You know, like when you weren't heard. Say if you were a musician. Like, remember they had MySpace?
Yes.
Well, Facebook basically.
I remember MySpace.
Put MySpace. Like the whole herd went from MySpace and then shifted. Oh, check out this new platform.
Well, let me just throw this out there. Maybe there's all new platforms coming out. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. And here's the thing. We're living in a world that it is. I remember when Bill Gates wrote his book, Information at the Speed of Light. That was in 1995. And I was fascinated because my master's is in computer science. And I taught that at the high school. Yes.
Wow.
100 years ago. Okay.
Wow.
And I loved it. But, and then, you know, my career went on and on, but I just loved, I mean, I was so fascinated with the whole internet when it just came out. I was really into it and I read his book and it was fascinating. Information at the Speed of Light.
Very cool.
Yes, it was. And now we are in an energy age, which is information at the speed of thought. So who knows what's going to happen with these companies? I mean, look at now, we're on an online platform. Schools are going to start now on online platforms again. The whole world has shifted.
Yeah.
We don't know where we're going. I mean, now we have another big, huge company that's into the mix called Slack.
Yeah.
That is kind of like a Zoom, but it's even better. And a lot of companies are using Slack. And who knows who's out there in the shadows right now that's going to come into the folds of you know, it's going to be birthed. It's a little mustard seed. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And again, as a leader, how are you going to lead us into that next century that we're working on? You know, we're just into the 21st century, but as we lay our foundation, and that's why we want to lay it with what we're doing with the leadership programs, which deal with the four core archetypes, which are the foundation of any point of anything that you build for your life. Because let's face it, it all ends up with our soul. And if we compromise our soul, if we're not in authentically being ourselves, that starts eating away at our cell tissue. And that's what Shelly and I were talking about. Shell, that's what you said. When we were watching that hearing, I told you, get off that hearing already.
Because
it was so toxic. You know, you have to sit there and you have to prepare yourself to not get sucked into that toxicity.
Yeah. And that takes with elevating your own level of energy. And I felt like, okay, I could sit through more of that now because of some work and some observation. I had to shift some beliefs I had about it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like I had to shift. Like,
you want to share those?
Well, yeah. Like,
shareable.
Well, you know, this is like, you know, coming from, okay, I can't handle, like, I hate politics. I don't like them because they're all liars. They're all, and I've had that. I've grown up with it. On the flip side, my grandmother and grandfather, who, you know, lived during World War II and stuff and the Depression, they had this mentality that Carolyn is always like, was prodding us. You have to get involved. You can't just not watch the news. You have to participate.
Right.
Being a full individual, you can't just turn around and say like, oh, that's just too much. I can't deal with it. It's so negative. Hello, life is positive and negative. That's what she's saying. And I finally got that, like watching that. It's like I had to raise, I've always dealt with shadow aspects within myself, but I never did it on the external level, especially in politics and business. But if I want to be a businesswoman and grow like to like great heights and stuff like that, I have to be able to know what's happening on that tier. It's a tier. And it's a level of development and responsibility, which we've talked about in several of our podcasts. And I finally came to the acknowledgement of that. I was like, oh, I have to dismantle this belief that, oh, I hate liars and I hate cheats and I don't want to deal with them. Because
I don't want to deal with politicians,
it
right?
It makes me feel so, and so I have to manage my energy.
Right.
And yes, I have to do that. And what we're calling, you know, people that are listening to this show, if you want to be a leader and you want to, you know, maybe you want to be an entrepreneur, maybe you want to have your own business, or maybe you want to manage other people in a business that you're already in, you have to manage your energy on that micro level consistently.
Oh, totally.
Consistently. It's every day because you're interacting with other people and their vibration, which can have a negative or a positive response. And this is when we start to talk about energy. You know, Shelly and I are, this is part of what we wanted to teach people. It's not just always just physical matter. What you have to understand is energy is always before matter, and it happens on the micro, and then you take it to the macro externally. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo and deep, but this is, I mean, freaking look at Elon Musk. I mean, we didn't even get into, he was going to be part of our
show.
We should
do a
today.
Show on him alone.
I suspect these people understand that on so many levels, but they have to bring, you know, they might be, one of the things when we were watching this show, and I know Shelly felt this, it was all mental.
Yes,
it's totally. Very mental and very reason-based, intellectual. It was coming from both sides, which makes it even more so toxic. And what we want to bring into this other level as we proceed in our future, our new vision, our new quality of life that we are creating through this pandemic. By being home alone and taking this time to kind of dismantle old beliefs that have not been working anymore and bringing in something new, is we have to start bringing in this energy of when we're in business, it's not just saying, okay, it's business. It's bringing the heart and the soul into it. And having these higher regarded values. This is where, like, I really felt for Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
He had this glaze over, because it's all mental based what these guys are doing in business now. And we have to transform that into bringing the heart and the soul into business as well into the life, and create that in an external realm. Like, you know, make that external. It's really, these are new waters that we're navigating, and we've never done this. We've never seen this before. No. And to revolutionize this, that's what I feel like what we're doing right now. We're starting to, you know, get the conversation going by teaching, yes, these aspects of these four survival archetypes and bringing those into play, and saying, okay, how do we navigate this light and shadow aspect? Because it's all a part of us.
And it is. And let me just jump in.
And dealing with power. And dealing with our power.
And let me just jump in, because I would just want to circle back,
yeah,
to the day that I met you and the why. Mm. And I think it's a good show for me to just kind of give a little snippet of that, because I was a leader. I was running a school. In 2003, I had politicians I dealt with. I had a huge school. It was very high performing. Mm. I was in the spotlight all the time. And I was constantly drained, because when you lead, it's lonely at the top. You have people criticizing you all the time, second guessing you. Just sometimes I felt like Jeff Bezos was when I would have to deal with an issue that parents would go to the school board and what have you. But here's the bottom line. The reason why I went to study at CMED with Carolyn on sacred contracts and on archetypes, because I wanted and I needed to lead in a different way. I wanted to lead not only authentically, but also at a different level, internally. And that's what Shelley and I are here to share with you. And I will, at another episode, share my story of when I finished sacred contracts, the two-year program, how my leadership style not only changed, but a lot of the problems that I was having, I was able to navigate with such grace, because I was taught that by Carolyn. Wow. That it just took my leadership to a new level.
Yeah.
And I didn't leave every day feeling like I had been beat up by you know, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
You know,
right? Yeah.
That's how I felt all the time, right?
Yeah.
So this is what this is all about, to teach you the tools and to talk archetypal language. It's the language of the soul. It's the language that we need to be going into right now in this new world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this has been like a riveting show, and I can't wait to move forward into our final. I think we have like three more shows for this season, and we are going to be talking about education and leadership and what it takes and moving into that realm, and what it's going to take moving into the future dynamics, you know, in our countries, you know,
as a platform. Leader, because we're targeting leadership.
Yeah. But
we're
then also,
online platforms on leadership. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah. But I wanted to, like, Carolyn had said this thing, and it just really struck me. And she was being, I think a little silly and facetious, but she said something to the effect where sometimes I sit back and get myself hysterical thinking about what I would do if I were given half a chance, especially if, you know, I was like in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And I giggled and died laughing, because she's, you know, she said it with a cute little sarcasm and I can picture her getting, you know, just completely beside herself laughing because she has such, she has the connection with everything. She's tapped into source, and she has knowledge and history of how this country was built. She has knowledge about being an entrepreneur because she's an author. She's created this nice little,
it's a very successful business,
very, very successful businesswoman. So she kind of knows the whole game, but she's tapped in. And I just thought it was so, so funny. And I'm like, I love that thought. I love that thought because it's like this individual on the micro level and what she knows deep down in her soul, and right. that she giggles to herself, if I was given half the chance, what would I do on that platform?
She would unravel all those power plays. Let's face it.
Exactly.
It's right? all a power play.
Exactly. And I just love that. And it's like, oh wow. If there's someone out there listening to this show right now, what would you do? If you were given half a chance, and how could you create that half a chance? You know, what do you have to do it with? And I found that when I am in line with God, I I'm creating from that, and I dismantle beliefs that don't resist that coming in, that power coming in. Ooh, that's what brought Shelley and I together.
Yes.
Yet again. And yeah, I didn't see it coming, but that's what it did. And I think when these CEOs originally started their businesses, they were tapped into that too. And I think sometimes you can lose sight of it because you're mm-hmm. trying to manage and you're trying to be something for everyone. Right. And that hearing was probably a bit of a wake-up call for them that they have to tap into that and realign with themselves. Hopefully that's what they're doing now after that, because I'm sure they got home and they probably felt, oh my God, that was so toxic. Who knows what
they had to take like three showers. I know.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably did. And then they have to reassess and look at the mountain that they're sitting on top of and like, what did I create here? And how do I proceed forward? And the question too being is, do I want to continue to proceed forward in this fashion? Maybe it's better for it to be, you know, dismantled or broken up, kind of like Ma Bell was, you know? I don't
know.
Who knows,
but I always tell people, it's always better for you to be the one to do it than have government come and do it for you.
Right?
Yeah.
I love that. It's
always better for you to do it besides government coming in and doing it for you, because that's their baby.
Yeah.
Those companies are their babies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what a woman knows. I don't know if the guys know that, but you know, one of the other things that I noticed about that list that we looked at is there weren't very many women on that top CEO, their top business in America or whatever.
Sheryl Sandberg works with Facebook, and she's a dynamo. I really like her. I've read a lot about her.
But
no, it's all male dominated.
It's all guys, you know, like, that to me struck me as fascinating. There was only, I think, one.
Well, it's the world that we're leaving behind. We're leaving the Aries, the male dominated energy, and we're coming into the goddess, the more nurturing, the softer.
So ladies, we're calling you into leadership.
Come on, ladies, step up to the platform.
Start stepping up to the platform, exactly. And start recognizing that, we need you and the world needs you and that you can do it.
Especially these young women that are top superstar leaders, young ones that are coming up. Yes, we've got your back.
Yep, absolutely.
Got your back.
So, do you have anything else you want to add to the show today, Shel?
Not really, but I just want to let everybody know, thank you so much for listening. Again, we're here to get you to think. And I hope we put some questions in your mind so that you can start thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, once again, thank you for joining us. Enjoyed the show, please go and leave a review or a comment, because that helps people find the show. And if there was any in that comment, you know, let us know if we motivated or inspired you. And remember to subscribe or download on iTunes, or you can watch us on YouTube if you'd rather watch us. And then you can always find all those links and everything at our website, evolve360show.com. This is
Shelly Grace
and Shelly Devine with Life Unplugged, Raw and Real. See you on the next Evolve 360 Shelly Shell Show. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.